This is Illuminated Lamb, where we discuss the themes of Christ and light as found in the scriptures. If you've been following my podcast for any length of time, you'll know that I'm a big promoter of biblical meditation or biblical reflection, another way of putting it. Recently, I did an episode in which I spoke about what I call contrasting reflection, where you take a look at one passage and perhaps you'll see another passage that kind of balances it out in the other way. One will take one direction, the other will take a different one. Sometimes you can create your own contrast. I did that with that episode in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, in which Paul lists off a number of attributes and things that we should be thinking about, and then created the opposite list to see what would that look like if we did the opposite. What I'd like to do today is two different types of reflection. One of them is contrasting. The other one is what I call cross-referencing, in which you take a passage from another part of Scripture and you will then use that as something of your ability to discern and reflect because there's some commonality or there's something that's already contrasting. So I think we're going to see that that's the case here with the passages I've selected for today. A passage I've read recently that contrasted and cross-referenced with another one, which I'll mention in a few minutes, of course, and I think it's an important contrast. It's more than academic, it's more than just theoretical. It has to do with how we conduct our day-to-day lives. Let me give you a little bit of context as to what's going on at the beginning of Exodus chapter 5, which will hopefully make us a little bit more discerning and a little bit more knowledgeable about what we're seeing in the passage I'm actually going to be reading. At the very beginning of this chapter, we find that Moses and Aaron make a request to the Egyptian Pharaoh. They're telling him that the God of their people, the Lord God, the I Am That I Am, has commanded them, their people, to take a three-day journey into the desert in order to create or do sacrifices to him and to worship him. The reply that we're going to be looking at is in these verses in Exodus chapter 5, verses 4 through 9, and it's the Egyptian Pharaoh's way of handling this request, and it gives you a good sense of his mindset about himself and his mindset about God. So let's take a look at Exodus chapter 5, verses 4 through 9. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens. The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore, they cry, let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it, and pay no regard to lying words. When we reflect on this passage and look at Pharaoh's replies to not only Moses and Aaron, but to the foremen who are in charge of the brick making, you find a few things concerning the Pharaoh's sense of what priority is, and I'm going to be speaking from his perspective. His priorities are such things as, these are my projects, thus they are important projects. They are the most important projects. You also find that he wants to redirect the thinking of the Israelites. He's saying that they're idle. Apparently, they have time to think about the words that Moses and Aaron have passed along to them about their God watching over them, being concerned about them, and the burdens that they are bearing. So what the Pharaoh's looking to do is to, for lack of a better term, distract them. Not in a maybe a pleasant sense in the way that we think of it today, with somebody perhaps spending more time on their iPhone, going through social media than you might expect, but yet a way of distracting them from, in this case, an encouraging word from their Lord. Lastly, we find that what Pharaoh's saying is that the words of God are lying words. And I think it's important because I think those who don't believe in Christ will actually reflect a number of these things in their thinking. They may very well be thinking of the words of Scripture as lies, that their priorities should be everyone else's, and opening themselves up to distraction, especially distraction that would take them from thinking about the things of Christ. There are two things I wanted to point out about Pharaoh's response having to do with burdens. In verse 4, he's saying, get back to your burdens, which I think has a bit more punch to it than, let's say, in a more contemporary sense, if somebody said, hey, get back to work, you're on the clock. It's one thing to say, hey, get back to work. I think it's another one to say, get back to your toilsome burdens. Also, in verse 5, Pharaoh is saying that what's happening is that the people are looking for rest from their burdens. And in context, I would see this as Pharaoh seeing this as a bad thing. Now, as we progress through this episode, we're going to see a contrast in another place in Scripture that I believe speaks about burdens and rest. Something I found, and I do not claim any unique insight into this, is what happens when the Lord Jesus is speaking about the Pharisees and the experts in the Jewish law during his time here on earth. I think he draws a rather interesting parallel between what they do and say with what Pharaoh has said in the passage we saw in Exodus chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, we find the Lord Jesus speaking about the Pharisees and the scribes of the time, the religious leaders of that era. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. In Luke chapter 11, verse 46, we find the Lord Jesus has similar words for the Jewish experts in the law of the time. Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. One of the things I found with Scripture is that it's more, in this case, with the Gospels, for example, more than just history. It is that, but it goes way beyond that. The Word of God, of course, living and active, and has eternal consequence and eternal applicability and eternal lessons to learn that are not only applicable to the first century AD, they're available and applicable now in the early 21st century. So what I'd like us to think about, even in Christian circles, where are leaders imposing heavy burdens on their followers? Perhaps in a church setting, perhaps through social media, perhaps through some other type of community effort that is maybe a Bible study or a prayer group or something similar. I'd just like us to reflect on, are there things that people are being asked to do that are toilsome, a heavy burden, and something which Christ never intended for them to do? I'm not going to give an example here. I could probably give a few. I don't want to bias this. This is, for lack of a better term, homework that I'm giving you on your part. Something to think about. How applicable is this in the early 21st century in Christian religious circles? I've mentioned earlier in this episode that I would be taking a look at two different types of meditation. One of them, which I call cross-referencing, the other one I call contrasting. I think we've already seen how we've cross-referenced the passage from Exodus with some brief passages from Matthew and from Luke concerning burdens being placed on people, perhaps in definitely a different context. However, the idea of what happens when people are working through a burden. So for the cross-reference and for the contrast, what I'd like us to do is take a look at Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. The Lord Jesus told the people of his time and tells us today, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The contrast between what the Lord Jesus said and what the Egyptian Pharaoh said centuries earlier, he was telling the people, resume your burdens. In essence, get back to work. Why are you seeking rest from your burdens? Take a look at what Christ has to say about this. He's saying that we should come to him who labor and are heavy laden. Commentary I've read concerning this indicates that for the word labor, think about somebody who is working to the point of utter exhaustion. They have given all they've got, and they don't have an ounce more to be able to give. And for somebody who's heavy laden, the idea there is carrying a burden that is so burdensome you can't or really weren't meant to carry it on your own. So what does Christ offer to those who will come to him who are in those conditions? He offers rest for your soul. He offers rest. Interestingly enough, he refers to his yoke and his burden. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do be mindful, it doesn't say that the yoke and the burden don't exist. They do exist in this lifetime. And yet the yoke is easy, the burden is light, because those who are looking to Christ, those who are trusting him, are in union with him. In that union with Christ, we are under Christ's yoke. And in the same way that two animals would be yoked together for agricultural purposes over the centuries, in a sense, we are yoked together with Christ for what we are called to do for his mission and his purposes here on earth. And who's the one who takes the brunt of this? Who's the one who takes the heaviest part of the yoke? It's not us, it's Christ. Something I've tried to make sure that I do throughout these podcast episodes that I've already done, what I'm doing right now, the ones that are in the future, I've looked to have a bit of a teaching dimension to them. I think it's important to help us grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also a devotional aspect, something we can reflect on, something we can read, something we can pray over and either marvel at in Christ, or something we can take action about. So what I'd like to ask you to do is remember that the main goal of this podcast, what I'm looking to do in all of this, is to help point you to Christ, and that you will find rest for your soul in Christ. Now, I suspect that most of the people who are watching or listening are already believers in Christ. That's wonderful. Where I'm going with all this is, even for those of us who are believers in Christ, I think there are times we, without maybe even realizing it, take our eyes off of him. For example, I know that in Hebrews chapter 12, we are told to fix our eyes upon Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. I think there are times that we do allow this world, accidentally or on purpose, to take our focus off of him and onto other things. So even for those of us who are believers, I would like to help make sure that, in closing, I'm helping to point you and me to Christ, and that we together can find rest for our souls in him.